Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB reviewed of Beyond Wrestling's hashtag 2 weeks notice from the Garden Pier at Atlantic City, July 26, 2020. You remember going to the Garden Pier, Mason?
No.
It was a long time ago. We went to Atlantic City. I think you remember there was like a hotel that was like $8 a night. Remember
it was $10.
So you remember that trip. Yeah.
And I remember there was the ponies in the water, or the horses.
That was the same trip, yeah. I can never remember what that place is called, but you had some wristband that day as well. I remember getting you a wristband,
so you could do as many rides. I remember seeing a crab. Was that trip?
That was the same trip, yeah. So you remember all the wildlife stuff, but you don't actually remember the rides and stuff. Huh.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, you had the wristband. I know there was one that did like that Superman ride where you kind of lean forward.
Oh yeah, that was fun. I think that was.
You did that a couple of times. No, you did. Well, you did it other places. You also did it one in Pennsylvania as well. It's like Dutch Wonderland or something. I know you did it there as well, but you first did it at Atlantic City. Wow. So I didn't need to all the rides. You don't remember that stuff. I thought you might mention the magic show if you were going to remember anything from Atlantic City.
Oh, that was Atlantic City?
Yeah.
Oh.
That thing was awesome.
Oh, that was fun. I remember two tricks where he hides behind a TV and then he like appears.
Yeah, that
and
was
then
crazy.
There was another one where there was this motorbike in like a cage.
Yeah.
And then as soon as the motorbike came down, there's a bang and lots of smoke, and the people from the back were on the stage, and the motorbike was in the back.
It was, yeah, I don't remember the guy's name, but he was absolutely amazing. You were really into magic at that point, and I didn't know it was going to be as good as that. I thought it was just going to be like a little show or something. And yeah, we walked in. It was a big theater and we could sit. We didn't sit front row because actually you were so small. You kind of had to look up and you wouldn't have been able to see everything. So we sat like third row. But yeah, it was really cool. All right. Now, this actually opened up with a dark match, Mason, according to Cage Match. So we didn't see this one. It opened up with Benjamin Carter versus Slade. We watched this on IWTV a few weeks later, mainly because I'd heard how good it was. I'd heard many people talk about it, and we didn't watch it live. So, match one was Platinum Max Caster versus Alley Cat. Now, I gotta admit, I was really impressed with Max Caster. When they introduced him and they were talking about his songs, I'm like, I have not heard any of this stuff at all. On Twitter, he introduces himself as a rapper, wrestler, handsome, the hitmaker, best wrestler alive, one third of the At Shook crew. Alright, who else was in the Shook crew then?
Bobby Orlando,
yep.
And I don't know the other guy.
And it says Bryce. I'm not sure who Bryce is. It's certainly not Bryce Remsburg, that's for sure. Actually, it says, and Mick, M-I-C, on here as well. So that would actually be a fourth, wouldn't it, if there was four people in there?
I don't know.
I'm not quite sure on this one. Also, he's an assistant trainer at Creator Pro, it said, as well. And Alley Cat's introduced her as White, Poor, Wasted, and throws the best Larry Cat in the business. I don't remember the Larry Cat when we used to see her on indie wrestling, so
yeah,
I think that must be a new one. That makes perfect sense. That fits in perfectly with that description. I'm gonna be honest, I'm hoping you got stuff for match two. I missed a lot of match two, mainly because I went and looked up Max Caster. Like, I was looking at every Friday he actually releases a song. Actually, as we're recording this, it's Friday. I need to go find out what his song was for this week. But he released a diss track on Alley Cat. It's like a professional music video. It's like 2.5 minutes long. It's actually really good. And Alley Cat actually released a song as well in response to that as well, which was similar. It's about 2 minutes, 15 seconds or something. Same thing. Looks like him. I got totally into this. I think Max Caster is amazing. I love that side of it. You know how we have our little tracks that we have on our indie wrestling playlist?
Yeah.
I would have put that track on there as well. I thought it was... I'm not sure if it was PG. That part I'm trying to remember. I'm not sure. And I think it also says on his website as well that you can actually buy a song from him as well. Like, ooh. So he kind of produces... I don't know how much... I would have loved to know how much his songs are to have one. It could be the future intro for the MGB Wrestling Podcast, perhaps. I don't know. I don't know how much it was. It said DM for details. I'm like, I'm not going to waste his time, but I was kind of curious. All right, serious stuff, though. Tell us about the match.
I don't know how long ago, but Alley Cat dyed her hair pink.
It's been a while. Obviously, COVID's hit as well, so it could be. It's certainly over 5 months. I'm not sure. I had seen it, but I can't remember I can't remember when I first saw it, and I'm not very good at noticing. I didn't pick up that Ruby Riott had dyed her hair green for about several months. I only noticed like last week, and Matt was like, yeah, she did it in February. So I'm the worst person for noticing things like that anyway.
So it's right next to the beach, so like mm-hmm. you could see all the water in the background, mm-hmm. and you could definitely see the beach breeze
yeah.
blowing in people's hair. And Allie scratches Max before the match. Max distracts Kid Ref by grabbing the mic so Bobby Orlando can choke Allie. Max's shoe is untied, and it reminded me of Tim Donst.
Yep, safety first. Uh-huh. Safety first.
Bobby distracts Allie so Max capitalizes with a Death Valley driver. Warhorse and Effie takes out Max's crew, and Effie, I think, threw a water bottle in the ring, and Max whiffed trying to kick the water bottle out of the ring. And the bell rang when it wasn't supposed to. And it might have been the commentators covering up for the ring people, for the ring bell people. But they said it was Warhorse banging Max's crew's head on the bell.
They might have. That was off screen because it was, I think it was a hard cam as far as I could tell for the most of the time. I think they also had the camera where the people walking around the ring. But when we couldn't tell from that whether that was actually true or not.
And Allie wins with a Larry Cat.
And once we'd heard that was the move, it was like, yeah, I definitely want to see the Larry Cat. That was, it works really well. It was great seeing Allie. I would say we used to see her regularly, probably almost once a month. And I get to see her a little bit now from IWTV, but yeah, I certainly don't get to see her as much as I would like. All right, match two was Bear Country, which is Bear Boulder and Bear Bronson, versus Injustice, which was Jordan Oliver and Myron Reed. Now, the other reason I wanted to review this event was we saw Jordan Oliver and Myron Reed face each other the night before at Synergy Pro Wrestling. So this was one of them where they were where more traditionally they were teaming up again. So this was probably the one that took me to this card more than anything else. And I think I missed most of the match. I was so into those videos, and then I was like, oh, I think I said to you, I was like, oh shoot, this better not end soon because I've got nothing right now. And it was like, 1, 2, 3, ding, ding, ding. I was like, oh, for goodness sake. I don't know if it was a pin. I'm sure you're going to tell us.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. Tell us about this one.
So Jordan holds Bronson, and Myron kicks Bronson, and then Jordan into he carries him over to a suplex. And the commentator says it's 131 degrees in the ring.
And you were like, it is? I was like, I don't think so. I was like, he also just said in the first match that when there was a helicopter sound, that was his helicopter who'd come to pick him up.
Yeah.
So I was like, I think he's probably making that stuff up.
So Myron and Boulder almost tried to throw each other into the Atlantic Ocean. And Jordan still has a shoulder injury from Synergy.
Yeah, that was legit. I'm not sure whether we mentioned that on our review of Synergy. But he did actually say his shoulder was hurting him, and he was hoping he'd be ready to go, and he did. But yeah, no, he actually did have some sort of shoulder injury. I'm not sure, obviously, how severe or anything. But
mm-hmm. Bear Country attempts the elevator drop, which is basically one gets stuck on the other's shoulders and then thrown on top of one of like Jordan or Myron.
Uh-huh.
But Jordan turns it into a Cutter Moonlight Hour, and then Justin's win with a 450 splash.
Now, I don't remember if I told you this one. Twitter's still very strange as far as we're concerned. Like, you know some of the big names that have followed you, and you're like, whoa, really? I'm like, yeah. And you're like, why are they following me? I'm like, I don't know. I seem to remember Bear Bronson, I think, is following you as well. It was one of the members from Bear Country, and it might be that we followed them after going to...
Alpha One?
Alpha One, yeah, because they were at that one. Often we'll follow them just so we can find out stuff ready for the next pod. And yeah, I remember looking back, and I was like, oh! I was like, I didn't realize. Sometimes there's so many notifications, you don't always catch them. And I think that was one that I missed. All right, match three was Lee Moriarty versus Wheeler Yuta. I didn't write this down, actually. Wheeler Yuta came up on our Facebook feed for on this on the day thing. So 2 years ago, you actually got your second picture with him because they actually did the playing cards at Nova Pro. And we got it signed at that one because we missed the original show and we got them to save one because we were in England. And I think it was called Harlem Nights, so that came up very recently for us. Now, I don't know, Lee Moriarty, the name sounded really familiar to me, but I couldn't quite remember why. We've reviewed a match with Lee Moriarty before. Any ideas, Mason? Sometimes your memory is a lot better than me.
No.
It was AIW's Too Cold event over Christmas. It was against Alex Shelley. So once I saw that, I was like, oh, I remember the Alex Shelley match. And yeah, that's where we saw Lee Moriarty from. Wheeler Utah on Twitter. Rollerball Rocco is one of my favorites to watch, from World of Sport in England to his time as Black Tiger in Japan. Rocco pioneers the fast-paced style that so many of us emulate today. Do yourself a favor and watch a Mark Rocco match today. May he rest in peace. There was actually, he's one of the British wrestlers that I used to watch when I was your age, and he was one of my favourites as well. He was really good too. There was actually a few British references in this match as well. They did a shout out to Johnny Saint, who actually runs NXT UK right now as well. He's like their general manager. But yeah, he was like a classic wrestler when I was watching as well. And what did I get from the start here as well? Oh, I'm not sure. I think this is from Lee Moriarty on Twitter. Myself and at WW Unicorns laughing because we knew at Wheeler Utah was burning up in that cool entrance jacket. And Wheeler responded, yeah, there's a good reason I put it on right before I went through the curtain and took it off as soon as I got to the ring. Now, I gotta be honest, I don't remember what jacket he was wearing. I focused more on his mask, because that's normally the thing that focus on. So I wondered if you remembered that one or not.
I don't.
Okay. And it looks like Wheeler's also going to appear pretty soon, August 22nd. Black Label Pro is returning. There's very limited seats there, but you can actually buy a support ticket to show your support, and they're going to send out signed posters. I was like, that's a pretty cool way of doing it. I think it's like $15, $20, but you get like an 11-inch by 17-inch poster. And doesn't say who's, I don't know if it's the whole card that signs it or if it's just a few people, but I thought that's a really good way for to get, obviously you're going to lose money because not everyone can go, but people who still kind of want to support it but don't quite feel comfortable going, I thought that was a really cool idea. So that's something that we might take part in. I know it's going to be on IWTV anyway, so you can still watch it, but you kind of give them a little bit of support at the same time. I thought that was a cool idea.
Will they lose money because they have to pay for shipping, or is it
They said they would ship it within the cost as well. So it was $20, and that's not easy. I guess you get one of those tubes. I don't know quite how much it is to send a poster, but they obviously build it into the price a little bit as well. They might get a deal because it's printed materials. I think sometimes that's cheaper to ship. I'm not sure, but I like that. I would say a lot of companies have got to be very innovative right now in finding ways to make money. One other I saw that's relevant for us, AIW hasn't wrestled at all. Similar to Virginia, there's no wrestling in Ohio at all right now. Their next event I just saw was released today. It's going to be in Indianapolis. So, yeah, companies have got to come up with new ideas during COVID to actually get their product out there. All right, tell us about match three.
I said, wouldn't it be funny if Wheeler had a mask under his mask? And there actually was.
Yeah, you did talk about that, yeah. Because Joey Silver had a mask when he was...
But he didn't wear it during the match.
No, and you don't have to. They say that when it's like... we saw that on one of the things. As soon as the person came through the door, they pretty much took their mask off. Yeah. And then went. So, yeah, but...
Wheeler has a beard and mustache now.
He does, yeah. I was gonna say he looked super young when we first saw him, and I think it's like 3.5 years ago now, Mason. So not surprisingly that does look older now. But yeah, it definitely makes him look older with that beard as well, for sure. Oh, I like that. I thought that looked good.
So the commentator said it's 150 degrees in the ring, and third degree burn is like the worst burn, right? That you could get that in under 5 seconds if it was really that heat.
Yeah, and I think that was the point where it was like, okay, it's not. And you could kind of tell that he was exaggerating, but I think you kept checking them. I think in other matches, you're going to give us some other temperatures as well.
And like 20 seconds later, it's 163 degrees.
Well, we watched this in two parts, and then at one point, I knew it was like an hour, and you were like, oh, it's at the point where the temperature in the ring is like 170 or something. So you definitely were paying attention to that stuff.
And so there was a new live record for Beyond. So the one commentator asked the other, how many people do you think is watching? And he says 600,000.
That's kind of like a Jackson guess. He tends to go over. Yeah, the Beyond is doing really well. Their events are always kind of popular. And numerous times when I've watched them, they've set like a new IWTV record and things like that. I think I watched the one on New Year and I seem to remember it was the same thing. But yeah, Beyond's definitely a growing organization.
What do you think,
for sure.
What do you think it actually was?
I don't know.
I'm thinking like 1,250.
Oh, I'm sure it's more than that. I'm sure it's a lot more than that, but I don't know what the figure is. Obviously, people watch it on repeat as well. Like, we watched it 2 weeks after the event. So, yeah, I'm not sure for live. There was a lot of wrestling on that weekend. GCW had just had an event as well. I remember when we were watching Synergy, people had two screens going because they were watching the end of GCW Day 1 and then watching the start of Synergy. And I'm not sure if there was an overlap between GCW Day 2 and Beyond as well, but there was a lot of wrestling going on that weekend. And I think that was also the weekend when it was the WWE pay-per-view as well. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of stuff going on. So even with all that stuff, they still set a record, which is impressive.
Yeah. Lee gets in joint custody twice, which is basically an arm bar. And Wheeler and Lee keeps doing small packages. And Wheeler wins with a tombstone-looking submission hold that I'm sure you probably have seen once or twice on Twitter.
I was watching the gifs that people had recorded for that one, and because I think you asked me what is it called, and I said it just says on here like it's a unique kind of submission. So I don't think we're exactly sure what that actually is. Wheeler, we saw his debut at Nova Pro, and we actually went to get his. That was one of the first autographs you actually got. That might have been like the second or third one you got. It was like really early. We were always very impressed with that technical style, and he's only got better in the last 3 or 4 years. So it was great to see Wheeler as well. Matt and I got to see him at WrestleMania weekend as well at the GCW event there when they were playing volleyball. So, not volleyball. I was going to say
dodgeball.
Dodgeball. That was it. So yeah, I think that might be the first time I've actually seen him since then. So that was kind of cool to see him again. All right, match 4 was Pinky Sanchez versus Willow Nightingale. I know you knew who Willow was, Mason. I know you didn't know who Pinky Sanchez was, so I went to look up a little bit more for him. I'd seen him because he's on the Beyond... I always get it wrong. Uncharted territory?
Yes.
Yeah, I saw him on there a few times. He came back after a while. I think he came out to help Chris Dickinson.
Season 2.
Yeah, they said he'd been away from Beyond for many years, I think is what they said. So I don't know if he wrestled abroad or something or quite what happened with that. He's a former GCW Extreme Champion. He wrestled in Chikara as a Carpenter Ant. And he appeared multiple times on Uncharted Territory last season as well. All right, go ahead, Mason.
So Willow does an angle slam, and Pinky, I think he should join the Golden Pinky Society. Pinky.
Honorary member.
Yeah. Pinky grabs a chair, and Willow missile drop kicks the chair into his face.
Mm-hmm.
And Willow gets dropped toehold into a chair. Then Pinky double stomps her off the apron.
Yeah.
And the commentator says it's 183 degrees now. It's getting... I think it might get... I hope it gets up to 200. That would be cool.
One other thing I heard with the commentator as well, they were said, that's really got to hurt her neck. Remember, she was out for a long time as well.
Oh,
she had that serious neck injury. Now, I didn't think the double stomp looked like it was on the neck. But of course, when you're watching these live events from indie things, you don't get to see the replays. So for me, it looked more like shoulders, perhaps, but... Yeah, I'm not quite sure on this one. All right, anything else for this match?
Willow wins with the sit-out powerbomb.
Okay, and while I was actually researching this one, I found on Twitter as well, it said, breaking news, Beyond Wrestling returns to Atlantic City on Sunday, August 23rd, streaming live on Indie Wrestling, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern. Tickets go on sale this Thursday, August 6th. So that's yesterday as we're recording, and probably 3 or 4 days after when this comes out, at 8 p.m. Eastern. But you can email beyondwrestling@gmail.com for exclusive online presale to get the best seats. You're actually going to be out in Ohio at that time. I don't think I have anything for that weekend. I don't know. If I'm bored, I guess I could take a four and a half hour ride up to Atlantic City. I guess I'd have to get my tickets ahead of time because I'm sure they're limited. But I don't know. Think about it. Possible. Alright, match 5, Christian Casanova versus Blake Christian. Oh, I didn't actually write down which person this was. I think it said it was Christian Casanova's first match back. And when I looked on his Twitter feed, he has a great highlights package. I love the wrestlers when you don't know, when you want to find out a little bit more about them. And the first thing on their Twitter feed is like a 2-minute video or 3-minute video of like their best moves. So that was kind of cool to see as well. And one of them was a match against... Oh, I also saw there was a match against Tony Deppen from Beyond the Crown, which was on YouTube as well. Tony Deppen keeps... I would say it was one person I said I want to find out more about. His name constantly keeps coming up now, right? We saw him at Synergy. We saw him at somewhere just before that. We've now seen him at Beyond as well. So it was good to see Tony Deppen there as well. And he will definitely come up in one of the later matches. All right, go ahead, Mason.
Christian does a huge springboard.
You got
hook.
Editing duty, so that's fine. You can make yourself sound as good or as bad as you like.
So 193 degrees in the ring now, apparently. And unfortunately, that was the last temperature check.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah. Christian does a Spanish fly, and commentator says it's now like the fourth quarter of a baseball game. Which, for our English listeners, It's there's 9 innings in a baseball game.
He got his sports analogies mixed up, but I think he did that deliberately as well.
Yeah.
I thought that was a funny line. He's like the silly commentator. Yeah, I thought that was a funny line. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Christian wins with a scissor kick to the back of the head.
Now, one thing I wasn't sure about, have you seen either of these two before?
No.
Christian Casanova, I did know from Beyond Uncharted Territory. And I think I've seen him up in Maine as well. I want to say Limitless Pro Wrestling. And yeah, he's a real high flyer, and he's somebody as well that's on our list of people we'd kind of like to go see as well. Yeah, he's a really good wrestler. All right, the 6-man tag team match. Chris Dickinson, Nick Gage, and Tony Deppen versus the... I think they actually had a team name. I think I said you were going to say who it was, right?
Yeah.
All right, versus the Second Gear crew, who were called Manders, Mance Warner, and Matthew Justice. And actually, I had the names written down before, so you didn't know. When one person worked out, I said, I think you're going to like this match. I know we're big fans of Mance Warner. We haven't seen as much of him as we would like on the indie circuits. We certainly see him on MLW. Nick Gage, obviously a big fan. Chris Dickinson is one that you don't seem to know much about either, mainly because you don't watch those Beyond events that I watch. So that was good to see. And once again, Tony Deppen's in there. Of course, Steve Manders we know as well. We saw him a few times as well. We saw him at AIW this Christmas. Actually, Matthew Justice was in that same card as well. All right. Oh, I got one thing for this one. I think Nick Gage is injured right now, and this will probably come up in the match. I said I saw Kylie Ray had wrestled recently, where instead of MDK, it was MD Kylie. So I started to look up that to find out, like, kind of why is she doing that? I knew it was GCW, which is kind of like a Nick Gage thing. And, yeah, she was auctioning it off. It says, auctioning off MD Kylie gear top. All proceeds go to At The King Nick Gage in hopes of help for a speedy recovery. Please DM or reply if interested. Current bid, $450. Like, nice. I looked on Nick Gage's site. I couldn't find anything at all. So he didn't announce that, hey, look, I got injured. I don't know. Not sure at all. I did see one other tweet on July 26th. Nick Gage actually did not wrestle in this match due to an injury suffered at an earlier Beyond Wrestling event. I think this relates to GCW. So I'm guessing this is where he picked his injury up. However, he would come out for the pinfall, officially earning himself a championship opportunity against Ricky Shane Page.
I would have thought if I was Nick Gage, I would kind of want to keep my injury quiet. Because if I'm supposed to be this unstoppable...
Yeah, I don't think he's somebody who's really that fussy, so yeah. I'm kind of not surprised.
Yeah.
But if he was, I mean, it might just be out for a week or two as well. So, but I don't know if you're raising money for him to get a speedy. It makes me think it's something more serious.
I feel like it was definitely his knee. It might have been like torn muscle or something like that.
That's possible. Well, either way, we certainly hope a speedy recovery for Nick Gage, because he's certainly one of our favourites for sure. But yeah, I couldn't find out any more details. I tried Googling as well. I couldn't find anything specific, so I'm not sure. All I could see that there was an injury, but I'm not sure when it occurred or how long he's going to be out for. And he might not know either at this point. All right, tell us about the match.
When the other team gets too close to Tony, he just flips on the bird and... Nick Gage's
team... This is before the match itself, right?
Nick Gage's team is called Murder, Dep, and Kill.
Uh-huh. You like that one?
Yeah, and I don't know what it usually is.
What MDK stands for?
Yeah.
Murder, Death, Kill. I finally know that one. I know we asked that question a while ago, and we finally found out.
I usually think of it as Murder, Dino, Kill, because that's what him and Tara Calloway.
Uh-huh.
Tony catches Mance's hand when he tries to poke his eyes, then he gives a huge right hand in return with interest, and Nick Gage is busted open, and Tony picks up the win with a kick.
So we don't think, actually, and you were paying more attention to this match than I was, because I was kind of researching at the same time. I was listening to the commentary. I'm okay, actually, just listening to matches and then kind of looking up occasionally. Because I said, how much did he actually appear in the ring for this one? And you said he kind of got tagged in.
I actually didn't write any of that down, but I remember it because I didn't think of it anything at the time. So Nick Gage, he hurt his knee on the outside of the ring, and he came into the ring, and I think it was Matthew Justice. He was targeting Nick Gage's knee, which might have made it even worse.
Probably.
And so he did a powerbomb to Matthew Justice, and then Tagged out pretty quickly. Yeah, and then I couldn't even see him on the outside.
He might have stepped away. Like, if you step away from the ring, then obviously you can't physically get tagged. He might not wanted to have been tagged in because he knew he couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One thing I got from the start as well, Chris Dickinson knocked off Manda's cowboy hat right at the start, just to kind of wind him up in there, because they had to hold him back because he was really upset by this. And, yeah, that's how that got started.
It's the Warhorse coming to you straight out of a U-Haul trailer. Now, it's time to clean out your ears and listen to some good MGB Wrestling Podcast.
All right, the main event, the IWTV Independent Wrestling title match. And you didn't even realize Warhorse was champion or still champion. I can't remember which way around it was.
I thought he lost.
Okay. Warhorse, the champion, was against Ricky Shane Page. He had Atticus Koga, I think that's how you pronounce his name, Eddie Only, Eric Ryan, and Gregory Iron ringside. I'm not used to seeing Gregory Iron as a heel. I've only ever seen him as a face. That was kind of different for me. Eddie Only, we remember from Nova Pro because he used to be in the safety squad. I listened to an interview of his on Dark Match podcast recently, and he does death matches now.
He does?
So I was like, whoa, that's a 180 degree shift from when we saw him. I think he was at that AIW event we saw at Christmas time as well, because we were like, oh, that's Eddie Only. So yeah, he a big shift for him in how he's his whole character now as well. But great to see somebody from who we saw, I don't know if he was necessarily starting out of his career, but now he's certainly thriving, so it was good to see him again. All right, go ahead.
So Warhorse keeps nodding during his whole intro.
You still know him as Jake Parnell. That's all you know. No, Warhorse kicks ass now, and he's all about metal and stuff. So he was doing moshing. He does that all the time now. That's his whole thing. He speaks in capital letters, and that's his whole character now. Like, he's really developed since we used to see him frequently, I would say. But yeah, I get to watch a lot of those matches on IWTV, and you probably haven't seen any of his defenses since then. So,
well, I did see his one at Flying V.
You've seen his paint, right?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, he had a different... Was that one we just watched on TV?
Yeah.
Were we there?
No, we watched it on
TV. Oh, that was the one when we couldn't make it, right?
Yeah.
I think he was supposed to reappear, the one that was in March, and then that got cancelled because of COVID as well.
I watched the other one where he was at Black Label Pro when he won the whole tournament, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yep.
I was actually rooting for Warhorse to lose.
Why?
I wanted to go to AEW.
I'm sorry?
I want him to go to AEW.
Oh, you said that. And I said, I think this was actually... And I didn't write that down. I think this happened before that match, actually, as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
I think it was like 2 or 3 days later. Although, that would have made sense, though, possibly. Because he could have dropped the title here. He could have placed Cody, won the TNT Championship, and then suddenly appeared. I totally agree. There was a mixed reaction I saw online. I was more excited for that match than I think any match I've been excited for, possibly ever. Like, he was like, Warhorse, we know Warhorse. We love Warhorse. Like, he's facing Cody. I was like, this is cool. This is seriously cool. Like, that thing got so many likes, retweets. Everyone who knew Warhorse was really excited by it. And, the reaction was mixed. Some people were like, oh, he wasn't quite as good as I thought. Other people were like, I absolutely love the match. And I thought they had to tell a story. The story was basically that Cody thought the match would be easy. And actually, Warhorse kind of surprised him a little bit. But in the end, Cody had the victory, so Warhorse had to kind of play down a little bit. But no, I would love to see Warhorse on AEW. And actually, would it be that surprising? Think of the other IWTV champions who are actually on AEW right now. So you got Chris Statlander, you got Orange Cassidy. They've shown that if you've been the IWTV champion, you're ready for that next step up.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, Jonathan Gresham's on Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Hot Sauce Tracy Williams is also on Ring of Honor as well. So, yeah, I think he's absolutely ready. So we'll have to see.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I would be delighted if AEW was to suddenly announce we got the Warhorse. They have so many people right now. They've been signing up so many people. I know you don't follow AEW that closely, but they've signed up a lot of people who've left other organizations. So, like, the Revival's joined. I'm trying to think. Zack Ryder's joined. He's not Zack Ryder anymore.
Uh-huh.
But there's, like, a lot of people they keep signing up.
The thing is, it's like every time somebody leaves a bit of any organization or moves the step up, go to AEW. That's the answer to everybody's.
Yep.
question.
Well, it's kind of better than what it was before, because it was always like, they're going to WWE. Now, at least the question is, are they going to WWE? Are they going to AEW? Are they going to Impact? Impact signed a lot of people recently as well.
Well, they're going to Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor's, yeah, it's a possibility, but they definitely dropped a lot since in a year or 2 years, that's for sure. But Impact actually has had record numbers of people subscribing to their channel.
Huh.
They've been doing probably the best business recently. They're really going up. So, yeah, they've signed a lot of people as well, like Gallows and Anderson. I was like, whoa, that's a big sign. Eric Young joined them. EC3 went back there as well. And the female side, there's a lot of people we know. Jordan Grace is probably over a year now. Kimberly, Deonna Purrazzo, yeah. Kylie Rae within the last 6 months or so. So, yeah, at least it's a three question now. Are they going to this?
Mm-hmm.
All right, tell us about the match.
Warhorse punches Gregory on the outside. 440 is choking Warhorse on the outside. Three suplexes by Warhorse to Ricky. And Ricky does a swanton bomb off the top rope. And Ricky throws a chair at the ref on accident. Huh. And 440 attacks Warhorse. But Ali takes out the hole of 440. And a low blow from Ali to Ricky.
Uh-huh.
And at this point, I realized RSP was Ricky.
Yeah, you were like, oh, RSP's Ricky Shane Page. I know that from other matches I've seen, but yeah.
Uh-huh. And a splash, but from Warhorse, and Ricky kicks out, and Warhorse then kicks out of a chokeslam, and Ricky throws the ref out of the ring
mm-hmm.
in rage. Then 440 attacks Warhorse for a Warhorse win DQ. Then Ali gets attacked too, and Effie comes in for the save.
Yeah, and they actually did switch referees as well. They had the female referee come in as well, but yeah. Not quite sure. I'm going to say I haven't seen all of the Beyond pay-per-view, so I'm not quite sure previous stories, where they're building. We watched it literally as a solo match, but it was great to see Warhorse again. Yeah, a lot of interference. When you got that many people ringside, I'm going to say, what was it Atticus Koga, Eddie Only, Eric Ryan, Gregory? That's a lot of people to bring ringside for a one-on-one match. And I think they said the rule was, first of all, like if Warhorse attacked them, he lost the title. I was like, come on, that's because they're going to do is they're going to punch him and not look at it, and then he'll punch them, and then he'll get disqualified.
Well, he punched Gregory Iron.
Perhaps they said afterwards then, I think he said if they attacked him, he could attack them, but it couldn't be the other way around. I thought that's what I heard. I was like, that's a ridiculous rule straight away. Because you know that they're going to... Yeah, the numbers game was significant for this one, and that's certainly how it turned out to be. That was the last match. This was a nice, tight show. The editing was great on this. This is perfect, mate. 1 hour and 40 minutes. There was no messing around. I'm going to say, you can even skip... This was the first time we got a new television 2 months ago or something like that. And a smart TV. And on this one, because we've always had to like cast to the TV before... And we always used to cast it, and he used to cut out like every 15 minutes. This one, no problems now. We can watch anything we want straight on there, which is, that makes watching it. Number of times we had to say, we had to stop watching, we had to try again the next day, or it cut out after 15 minutes, and then we had to start up again. Much better through using their app on the smart TV. And you could also do the thing with, you can skip 10 seconds at a time as well. So that was really good. And the other advantage of the smart TV now is as well, it remembers where you're up to. Remember we came back, we watched an hour, we went away, and then we came back a little bit later and watched the last 40 minutes, because it even gave the option, do you want to resume that? Perfect. Even though we knew it was, because we deliberately went to an hour so it'd be easy to find, that was much better as well, because sometimes it used to be difficult to scroll to different places when you do it on the computer. That was good. All right, anything else from this one?
No.
All right, I think that's it.
It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from them.
Goodbye! Bye.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at CompuTech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/